really enjoyed worship tonight. My name is Marnus. I've got a family, Janet, my wife up there, and Brennan and Rebecca, two little ones. God has just been laying some things on my heart, and it's been so cool that during Johan's offering message, it was quite a confirmation, and then the worship songs was quite a confirmation. And what I want to speak about is just a few things, and the title of I feel God has given me a few messages, but I want to start off with the first one, start at number one. And the series I'm calling Conquering the Darkness. Tonight I'm going to speak to about fearless true intimacy. That second slide, and it was so cool because the word that Johan brought us is about being fearless, whatever stands against you. Michelle's word was also about just there's a lot of stuff happening, but in the Father's arms in His house, we're safe, and that's the place we need to be. Jason spoke about the Father's house, but it also just speaks about the Father and wanting us to be fearless, and it's a place we get into that. In the space of being fearless, and it's so cool if God just confirms His word, it really encourages me. We live in a world that's really saturated with fear. Almost everything that we see in the world gets driven through some kind of a fear motivation. Fear of failure, fear of death, fear of poverty, fear of man, fear of rejection. All those kinds of fears that drives us. And when we come to God, we don't necessarily lose those fears. We get saved and we realize that God wants to set us free from death. A lot of times in our conscience and in our emotions, we still struggle with a lot of those fears. A lot of times in the church, we don't give each other room to deal with those things. You come to church and you have to kind of do everything. You have to do everything perfect. You have to be spiritually mature, etc., etc. But actually, I just want to say tonight, just before I start tonight, I just want to encourage you. You can be a child in the house of God, and there's levels of maturity. You can mature as God nurtures you and as He grows you. There's a responsibility on our side. The Word says we must work out our salvation with God. But there's also a place where we can relax and be content where we are at, and where we can really enjoy the journey in the Father's arms. This is what I want to start off with. It's like a little child, the way he grows up, and that it's got a big relationship with how he relates to his Father and the Father's house. And for us as children, when we come as Christians into the Father's house, a lot of times our experience with our earthly fathers has got a big impact on our relationship with Father God. We relate to God in that way, in a specific way. We bring that mindset with us. And God has to come and break that mindset. He has to come and break those fears and those misconceptions about His heart. And there's really a place where we can grow. I really enjoyed last week when Carla brought the word, Carla van Niekerk, about the person of the cancer. That's cancer. And it was so cool for me because she was like stepping out in a right as a child of God to exercise her faith. And she just stepped forward and the word was spot on. And it was really encouraging to me because that's what the Father's house is about. It's a place where we can grow. And it's a little place for us to grow into the Father's fullness, into what He's got for us. So the first thing I want to start off with is fearless true intimacy. I want to start with 1 John 4, verse 16 to 19. And we have known and believed the love of that God has in us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And this is our love, and this is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, that as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has torment. He who fears has not been perfected in love. We love him because he first loved us. And now, who of you have heard this scripture quoted quite often? And I think a lot of times the scripture is quoted in a way, quoted in such a way that says, because God is perfect love, we should not have fear. But I believe it's not completely what the scripture is saying, and I'm going to come back to it. But before we go there, let's look at the life of Jacob. Start off with the life of Jacob. I just want to quickly look through his life because he encompasses, he represents something about the life of God. And every Christian, and every person that comes to God in this world will have a little Jacob inside of them. Something that Jacob represented you bring to God when you come to God. And Genesis 25, verse 24 to 28. It's the first part I want to read tonight about Jacob's life. When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak, so they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And this is quite an interesting situation, a dilemma that Jacob finds himself in the patriarchal times, in the Old Testament days. If you were the firstborn in a family, you pretty much had it made out in life. You got the first double portion of the inheritance. You got the father's blessing. You basically carried on the family name. Everybody related to the family, related to the firstborn, is the heir, is the one that's going to continue to father it. So the second one, which Jacob was, he basically missed out on all of that. And what also didn't help in his life was that the fact that his father even had preference to the personality and the interest that Esau had, which is hunting and being a man of the countryside, which Jacob wasn't. So that made it even worse. So in every area, even naturally and relationally, he was disqualified from his father's affection and his father's blessing. So that's quite a bad place. And interesting little bit of clue that the Bible gives us, that Jacob's name means cheat. So he comes into the situation, not even with the dilemma of not being liked. His name is even a even got a negative name. But God intended it to be so. God has a purpose in that. And so for us, when we come to God, even when in the world, we have certain expectations of what God has for us. Even when we come into the kingdom, we look at people around us, we think maybe God loves some people more than he loves others. Because look at their lives, look at the blessings and the favor and the prosperity in their lives. It's not the same that I have. Why have I got the situation I'm at? Why am I like a Jacob? Others like a Esau? And let's look at the second part. Genesis 25, verse 29 to 23. So Jacob obviously looked at the situation and he realized there's no hope for him. He needs to make a plan. He needs to, if he's going to have any future and any blessing in his life, he has to make a plan. Genesis 25, verse 29 to 33. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came into the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of the red stew, for I am exhausted." Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I am about to die. What use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. So Jacob has learned how the system works. He realized there's no hope for him. So he needed to manipulate the system. He needs to do certain things to pretend and even to steal his birthright back. And sometimes in the world, it works pretty much like that. People learn how the system works. But even when we come to Christ, we sometimes think we need to do something special, or we need to pretend, or we need to kind of rely on works for God to bless us. And so the story continued with at the end of the chapter of blessing with his father, Isaac, Jacob actually, or Esau was going to receive the firstborn blessing from his father, because Isaac wasn't part of this whole scheme of Jacob. He didn't agree with the fact that birthright was sold. So he still wanted to bless Esau with that firstborn right. It was still going to happen. So there came a day which Isaac called in Esau. He said, "I want to give you your firstborn right, but go out for me and go and hunt and go and shoot some game for me to eat." And Jacob's mother realized that this is the chance for the blessing actually to be effective. He needs to receive it from Isaac. So the account goes with Esau getting some goat's hair, because as the first scripture showed, that Esau had quite a hairy composure, and Jacob didn't. So what happened is, goat's hair, they took a goat skin and put it on Jacob, and he went to his father Isaac, and basically what happened is he got Esau's blessing. He got that firstborn right. So not even did he manipulate his brother, he even got the outright confirmation from his dad, the firstborn. And as it worked in the patriarchal times, Isaac couldn't withdraw that blessing, because when it was spoken, your yes was your yes and your no was your no. So Isaac didn't bless Esau. And Jacob realized after this exposure, he realized when his brother comes back from the field and he finds out about this, his brother's going to kill him. There's no way he's going to survive it. So what does he do? He flees away. And he flees away to his mother's brother in a foreign land. He basically, it's called his uncle Laban. He basically lived there for a long time, 15 years, and God blessed him with many things. He received God's blessing even in that foreign land, in that place where it wasn't supposed to happen. And so it's quite often with us as well. We sometimes also manipulate even with God. We want to get that favor. But look at what happens when Jacob has to return home. So after about 15 years and with the uncle Laban, he got some trouble with the uncle Laban, and God told Isaac, Jacob, he needs to go back to his father's Isaac's land. He needs to go back there and go and deal with his brother. So he's on his way back, and he's obedient to God. But before he crosses out into the land, he gets a report that Esau is coming with a big group of men. He's coming to meet with Jacob. He's coming to meet him at the border of the land, which was his inheritance that he stole. And he realized, this is now a time where I'm the first time in my life I'm obedient to God, but my brother is still going to kill me. I'm still not going to survive this. So let's look at what scripture says. Genesis 32, verse 23 to 28. And he took his family and sent them across the stream. So he sent them ahead to meet with Esau, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with man and prevailed." So what happened here is Jacob was in a place of desperation because of his obedience. He was obedient to God, and now he was in a desperate place. And what did he do? If God wasn't going to come through, it's going to look back. So what does he do? He sets himself aside. He sets himself aside and he says to God, "If you don't come through for me, if you don't come and instill this fear inside of me, if you don't come and show yourself as the God of Isaac and Abraham, then I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to be able to face Jacob. I'm going to die. You said to me I need to come back, but I need that information. I need your blessing." So what happened is God wrestled with Jacob, and Jacob wrestled with God, and he prevailed until God blessed him. And in the process, in that wrestling, Jacob's name was changed to Isaac. And I believe that's a very crucial part for every Christian. For us to get our true identity of Christ, it's just that process of wrestling. And that's what I want to speak to you about tonight, is wrestling with God. Our true inheritance is not a piece of land. It's not trying to be better than our brothers. Our true inheritance is really coming to the place where we're contented about what God says we are. And we take the land that God has allotted to us according to His promise and according to what He says of us. That's what true inheritances. That's the place where God wants to get us to. And until we haven't wrestled with God, until we haven't gotten intimate with God, until that time, we're going to struggle as sons and daughters of God. We're going to struggle. And a lot of us have I just realized a lot of us have maybe given up on this. We've maybe not even have not wrestled with God. So tonight is my encouragement to you is this process of intimacy of God, this process of wrestling of God. If it hasn't started yet, I'm going to give you opportunity later on. If you've given up on that, if you've given up on God's blessing and his identity for you and his plans for you, I'm going to give you opportunity later on to respond to that. Okay, now I'm going to read that same scripture again, and I'm going to read it a little bit different. 1 John 4, verse 16 to 19. I've highlighted a different section. And we have known and believed the love that God has in us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In this our love is made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, that as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear is torment, he who fears has not been perfected in love. We love him because he first loved us. And the parts I highlighted on top is being known by God. And that relates to love, and God is love. So what I'm saying, the summary I made in the bottom is knowing and abiding in God makes you fearless because God is love. So if perfect love casts out fear, we need to have a relationship with that perfect love, and we need to know that perfect love intimately. So that time when Jacob was wrestling with God, he got something of that. He got something of that perfect love. And with that perfect love, he was able to cross that boundary of his fear and was able to face his brother. And for us as Christians, your fears, each one's fears is different. Your fears and my fears are very different relating to what God's called you to and what's your past experience and what your life, where you come from. It's very different, but not facing those things is not going to help you, because God is in that facing of your fears. He's in that wrestling match where you are at. Pastor Fred and Reina was speaking a few weeks ago about just maintaining your garden, about intimacy with God, about entering your garden. Reina was speaking about having a quiet time and having a relationship with God. And this is adds to that. It's just a place. This is more a specific place, situational place, where that adds to it. It's also about what speaking to God and being relational with him. So just to kind of test the audience a bit, who of you would say they've wrestled with God? So like you could literally say you've wrestled with God. Experience is wrestling. Some of you might have wrestled with God not knowing it, but who of you would say they've had an experience of wrestling with God? Just want to get a show of hands. That's cool. It's quite important. I find, I just feel I need to say this. A lot of times we miss our wrestling matches with God because it's easier for us to take shortcuts. And one way for us to take shortcuts is when we're supposed to be wrestling with God, we sometimes go to our closest friends. We sometimes go to a place where it's easier to talk about things. God sets us up in a place of frustration, and the Bible says he wants our first fruit, wants everything. And I think the ladies struggle a bit more with this. They like sharing things with their friends. And that's fine. I don't think God has got a big problem with that. But I think there's sometimes, this is a place where you are in a situation in your life, and you're not going to overcome that thing until you take it to God. So you're going to run in circles and come to the same place again and again until you say, God, I've had enough of this. I want you now to deal with me. I want to speak to you about this now. And I want you to give me the keys to overcome this thing. And it's going to be different for each one of us. I've got some videos. Can you guys just show those videos? It's free videos. Just going to set the tone for something I want to share.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? By himself. Up, up. Quick, quick, back up. No minute is coming. I mean, even if they start to
isn't it funny, my children? Now, this is what I wanted to just portray to that those videos. Is this is something that happens with parents and their children. This is something specific that needs to happen in a child's life when he grows up in a house. And a lot of us, we might not even have had that, which my children have. And I didn't have that when I grew up. I didn't have that confidence, that father that challenges you to take risks. And that's a big part of us learning how to wrestle with God. Because if we haven't wrestled with our earthly father, if we haven't been tested by the strength of our earthly father, a lot of times we're not willing to do that with God. Because we've got such a place where we have either fear of God or relate to God in a wrong way. And I believe there's a lot of healing that God wants to do in our hearts. And I just want to share that. I believe my boy is fearless. He goes down head first in the slide because he doesn't know, he hasn't gotten hurt before, or he's gotten hurt, but he just realized most of the things he does, he can get away with. He doesn't get hurt that often. So most of the times he does something strange, somebody's going to catch him or somebody's going to help him. Same with my girls. She's jumping off things because I'm going to be there to catch them. But the first slide was, I think, is the most important part. It's where I just spend time with them intimately. I just wrestle with them and roll around the bed with them. When Rebecca finishes, or when they finish bathing at night, Rebecca normally comes to the bedroom and I roll around with her. And Brendan, when he hears the wrestling, he comes running. He wants to join in. And I feel that's how Father God is. When there's supposed to be wrestling between us and God, then he wants us to actually run to him. He actually wants us to have the relationship with him. That's actually a place where we like to be, where we love to be, intimately with him, intimate in his presence. And that's just something that God has just really been talking to me about. As I was, about 3 weeks ago, I was spending some time, I'm not going to mention the names, I was spending time with two kids, they were like 5 and 6, two boys. And I was just walking around in a field with them, and we came across this rock that was about this high. And I thought it would be a cool thing, they can jump off it and I'll catch them. Because I'm used to catching Rebecca jumping off them. And first I mentioned it to them and they were just too afraid to even go on top of the rock. So I was like thinking, Lord, these kids are older than my kids, but I don't even want to take that risk. And so eventually I walked up with the one boy slowly and I got to stand with him at the top. And then I went down and I kind of helped him off. And so I did it a few times. And after a while, they could climb up by themselves, and then slowly they started jumping. By the end of half an hour, both of those boys, they ran up to the rock, and they took space, and they ran, and they jumped into my arms. Just in the space of half an hour, their whole viewpoint of fear and what could hurt them has changed. But nobody else has probably done that with them before. Nobody else has ever taken them to jumping off that rock or off a rock. So I believe something changed in their lives on that day. And God wants to do the same for all of us. We need to take some risks in our life. We need to allow God to challenge us into some risks. And then we need to go through it with him. And I believe it's a lot of times for us, we haven't ever experienced risk in our life, so we don't go there. We go where it's most comfortable, where it's easiest. And I'm not saying don't go and do something that's stupid, that's not from God. But rather err on the side of taking a risk and trusting God with something than don't do anything and staying at home. Okay, an example of David. I just want to look to some scriptural examples of intimacy. Psalm 22, verse 1 to 5. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you are fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried, and were rescued. In you they trusted, and were not put to shame. See, this is really a time of David speaking out of a time of anguish, of frustration, of God giving him a promise, anointed him as king, and now he's there hiding in a cave. Everything has gone wrong. Everything is not working out as God promised it to be. And sometimes we have to got the same situation in our life. Sometimes things go hard in our life. Sometimes because of different circumstances, things are not working out, etc. But look what David does. He's groaning. He's wrestling with God. I call that wrestling, what he's doing there. He's speaking to God. And all, if you look at all the Psalms, David was wrestling with God quite often in words. He was just speaking to him, why me, God? Why my situation? Why? And so I don't want to develop a theology of suffering or whatever, but what I want to say is when we're going through those things, what must we do? Sometimes we're trying to make sense of why is this happening to me? But God is standing there, he's waiting for us. He's saying, come and speak to me about it. Come and tell me about the situation I'm in. Don't run to your closest friend. Run to me and speak to me about it. My best remembrance of relationship building of God, some of my most precious moments has been times where things were really bad in my life. I can remember in 2004 when I just came back to God, and the resultant of that was I lost all my friends. And I was like weakened. I was sitting at home, and all I did is I cried out to God. I said, God, why are you doing this to me? And in effect, wasn't God doing it to me, but I think God had grace for that. Had grace for that, because in that crying out, I rebuilt my relationship with God. It wasn't with anybody. It was really alone with God that my relationship with God was strengthened. And if you look at this example of David, anointed as king, for us it's the same. God has called us to great purposes. And for David, from the time he was called as king to the time he became king, it wasn't a straight road. Like he probably thought it's going to take 2 months and Saul is going to give him the crown. He's going to become king. But what happened is he walked quite the end goal was straight, but God took him on a circular route. And I think it's so for each one of us. God calls you to things. He calls you to purposes. You don't know exactly what it is. But sometimes you're in a season, you cannot even see anything of what God has called you to. You can't see anything that of his promises being manifested. And it's that time where God has called us to wrestle with him. It's got purpose. It's got purpose in building character. And drawing us closer to him. And as you see with David, he didn't stop wrestling with God. And that's what I want to challenge you with tonight. If you stopped wrestling with God in your situation, that's the worst thing you can do. A few years ago, I was speaking to a girl about a faith situation. I remember it so clearly. God just reminds me of it quite often. And we were talking about somebody that got a faith breakthrough, and the other person didn't get a faith breakthrough. And she was saying, surely God cannot be unfair. Surely they both have got faith. Why does the one get breakthrough and the other doesn't? And I was thinking of that. I couldn't really give her an answer at that time. But what I can say now, if I looked at this example of David, possibly the one person, he made work of his faith. He was wrestling with God in that situation. And that's possibly why he got the breakthrough. I'm not saying that's always going to work like that, but I'm saying that's often of Christians, a situation like some people in this situation, they've got faith, but they're not making work of it. They're not wrestling with God. Example that also comes to mind to me is with the disciples, Jesus in the storm, Jesus in the boat, the 12 disciples are in the boat with him. Storm comes up. Things are going really bad. And in reality, Jesus is in the boat. He's got promises in their lives. But what they did, they go into fear and they wake up Jesus. They say, you deal with the storm. And they should have exercised their faith in that situation. God has already told them that I will be with you. I will always be with you. And it's the same with us. God says he's always with us, even in those storms, even in those times of difficulty. Example of Jesus. Jesus, before he was crucified, Luke 22, verse 41 to 44. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there, There appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. So even Jesus, which was sinless, which was the perfect Son of God, he had to, the Bible says he had to learn obedience through the things he suffered. So a lot of times we will go through suffering in our lives, which has been instituted from God, so that we can learn obedience. And even before the cross, Jesus knew he needed to go to the cross, but for him to have the emotional strength to overcome that fear, he had to go into a time of wrestling with God. He had to say, God, I need to wrestle with you. And so it's going to be in our lives. We are sometimes going to get breakthroughs, but then it's going to come a new season where God has given us a new thing to overcome. So it's not a place of once-off. God has sometimes has to give us a new name and a new season for us to prosper in that season and the thing God has called us to do. So that's what we're seeing here with Jesus. And what Reina was saying last week, God doesn't get glory out of the suffering. He doesn't get glory about Jesus going to the cross. But he gets glory about what happens after the cross. About Jesus being resurrected out of the dead. About Jesus going to heavenly places to sit on the Father's throne. So if Jesus wasn't wrestling through the suffering and didn't come to the other end, there would have been no glory. And that's for us. It's for us to wrestle through that, to wrestle through the fears, wrestle through the God-appointed suffering for our lives. There has been a doctrine of suffering in the church which says all suffering produces character. And I don't believe that's true. I think only the suffering that God appoints in our lives builds character. So some people will even impose suffering upon themselves and think that's going to build character. God has got many ways of building our character. One of them is suffering. So what we must pray is, God, let your suffering come upon us, not self-imposed suffering. Because mostly the things we struggle with and suffer with in this world are self-imposed suffering. It's because of the things we cause in disobedience and sin to come upon us. So just be careful. I just wanted to bring that correction. Jesus went through that suffering because God chose it for him. And if God's called you to the cross, go to it. But don't go and put yourself on a cross just because you want to experience what Jesus experienced. There's no glory in that for God. So it's important for us to be theologically correct about the suffering we take. So cool. As I was thinking of this story, God reminded me about a few things that happened about 4 years ago, and this whole progress, and then God confirmed it. So cool. About 4 years ago, my mom passed away of cancer. But before she passed away, it was like a long process. About 10 years, she had cancer on and off, got healed, and then it got worse again, got healed, and got worse again. And then the last time she got sick, it was now May 2009, I think. I was going to go on a mission trip, but God just said to me, this time it's worse. So I just canceled a mission trip and I went to Namibia. And I realized that God is going to take my mom. God just kind of warned me. And so we went home. But the funny thing is we arrived home on a Sunday. And then I saw my mom wasn't well. I had a few talks with her. And then on a Tuesday afternoon, she wasn't well. So we took her to hospital. And immediately she went into a coma. So things went really bad. And what's so cool about that is, but what happened is in that evening, it's, I think from the afternoon till about 12 o'clock at night, I was just standing next to my mom's bedside. And I really trusted God that she would be healed or that he would take her out of the coma. So I was like praying and I was like declaring stuff. And I was like really wrestling of God. I was like wrestling big time. It was like really kind of left a mark on me. And my family was standing there. They didn't believe in God. And they must have thought I'm crazy and all of this. And as my mom passed away that night, it was around midnight, I remember just walking out of the hospital building. And I just said, God, this doesn't make any sense. I don't understand what happened here. But as I was standing there outside, God just spoke to me. It's quite a difficult story to relate. I just remember God said to me, I will bring glory out of this. This is a seed unto something glorious. And it was quite cool. I kind of remembered it and just put it in the back pocket and just went on with life. About 4 months later, a guy knocked on my door and he's actually here tonight. Arthur, he's sitting there at the back. He knocked on my door, and God just said to me, I must invite him in. So I just listened to his story, and I just chatted with Arthur, and it's so cool. And God just told me to listen to what he's got to say. And then at the end of the story, Arthur just revealed to me that he's got cancer. He's just got a certain type of cancer. And I just felt, okay, now let me pray for you, and I'll just trust God for healing. Prayed for him and released him, and I didn't tie the two up, my mom's situation and Arthur's cancer. So about 2 years later or something, he knocked on my door, and I wasn't even home. Janet was home, and he told her the story that God healed him of cancer because I prayed for him. And it was quite cool. So this song made, well, I actually forgot Arthur's name even in the meantime. So I was like thinking of the stuff, and I was thinking on Saturday, I said, Lord, it would be cool if Arthur knocks on my door today. And yesterday he knocks on my door. I chat with him, and there he sits, invited him to church. That's quite cool. So what God has been saying to me is, out of that suffering, out of that things you're struggling through, and those real hard things in your life, God wants to bring glory out of that. And we should actually retrieve that glory from our sufferings, from the things that are difficult in our lives. If you've been going through some things that wasn't really from you, then trust God to just release you from that suffering and to bring glory out of that suffering. So in the beginning of the year, a guy, Ian, was with me. A guy knocked at the office's door, and he wanted some things. And I said to him, I don't have anything to give you, but I see you're struggling. Is there anything I can do for you? He said, I also have cancer, some liver cancer or something. I prayed for him as well. About two days later, you can ask Ian, where's Ian? Ian was standing there. The guy came back and he said he was healed as well of cancer. So what I take out of that is that God brought something forth, something beautiful out of my suffering. This is something I want to leave you with as well tonight. James 5, 16 to 18. Example of Elijah. So I just looked at the example of Jesus, example of Elijah. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, one avails much. Elijah was a man of like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for the time of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth caused its fruit to sprout. This is quite a cool scripture to look at, because it just speaks about our nature. Sometimes when we look at the prophets of the Old Testament, when we look at people that do mighty things for God, we think they're special. We think there's something about them that's only for them. They can only acquire great things. God has got a special relationship with them. But it says here, in its second line, Elijah was a man of like passion as we are. So what God is saying there is, Elijah was like all of us. The only difference, I think, with him was, and some of the men and women God uses, is just, I believe, is that one thing is intimacy and wrestling of God. Because it says there, he prayed earnestly. Other translation says he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And it did not rain. So through the process of wrestling, through the process of his life, and the whole process of Elijah, you see quite a few times in Elijah's life, he was really wrestling for God's blessing. If you look at Elisha, which was before him, the prophet, he wanted Elisha's blessing. And the way he got it, go read the story yourself, but it was quite a wrestling in his life. He always wanted God's blessing. At all costs. So he did quite radical things to get God's blessing. And out of that sprouted his relationship with God, where he could really pray for things. And things happened. I shared my cycling testimony in church a few times when I went home about 2004. I did a cycle race and God came through mightily. And I did well. And it was a testimony to my family. But the biggest part of that testimony, the cycling testimony, actually for those who haven't heard the testimony, is I won a race I was like 20 positions back, and God just empowered me supernaturally. And it was a simple cycle race, but for me, it was something big at that time in my life, because it was something I was racing to with God. But since then, Whenever I do like endurance race or a run or a cycle, I just have the confidence that I could do well in it. Sometimes I train for 2 weeks and I will go do and I will still do well in it. And I always joke with Kenny. I don't think I've told him yet, but I said to him, they call it in the world, they call that big match temperament. And people can perform on the day. It's a big rugby match. And some people, they just seem to always get it right at the right time. They don't perform other times, but I call it BME. And mine stands for big match empowerment. So I've learned how to run with God and how to cycle with God. So for me, it's something personal. When I do endurance events, then I know God is with me. I just know how to draw from the Holy Spirit. And that's come through experience, through wrestling with God inside of my life and my situation. For you, it will be different. You have to wrestle with God in your area where God's called you to and where things are personal to you. And those things are really personal, and they're really stuff of intimacy as well. It's not necessarily things you're going to share with people. Something that Rainer was sharing, some things you don't share with other people. You only share it with God. And what I want to say to you as well, that is a lot of the giants of faith, we look at them like a Reinhard Bonnke and Fred May, those people, we look at them, we see massive things. But if you go look at their lives, they've really struggled with God about true things. They've really wrestled with God to get to the place where they are. And that's just what I want to do. I want to wrestle with God. I want to wrestle for the things He's got for us. So what I want to say is, this scripture also alludes to intercession. On the Thursday morning, every Thursday morning, 5:30, in the church office, Marichen is leading the intercession team that meets there. And one of the places where you can really learn how to wrestle with God, it's not something that everybody has done before. One of the places you can come and learn to wrestle with God is just to come to intercession. Learn how it works. How does the kingdom work? And how does the dynamics work? How do we relate to God in prayer? How does the kingdom operate? How do we defeat darkness, etc.? So come and learn. Like me wrestling with my kids, what it gives them is gives them confidence because I wrestle with them. But some of us haven't wrestled with anybody or in the kingdom of God. And God wants us to learn. And not all of us are called to intercession. Not all of us are called to that office, maybe. But all of us are called to intercede. All of us are called to wrestle with God. So you have to do it in your personal capacity if you want to have breakthroughs. And most of what I've been sharing to you now is related to intercession. It's related to spending time with God and intimately with God. We've had the word of intercession, which I've also been thinking about. God has said to us, the flood is coming, the increase is coming, and we must prepare ourselves for that. So I've been saying to God, how does it look like? What does it mean preparing for it? And then God said to me, what if I tell you, you're going to have 5 new children, I'm going to give them to you next week. What is that going to look like? And how are you going to prepare your heart for that? So is this very practically, what is it going to look like? What are you going to do in your house? How are you going to change your house? And that's a wrestling match with God. Wrestle to God. Say, do you really want to have that 5 new children next week? Are you going to take responsibility of them? Are you going to plan to have space for them and to nurture them, etc., etc.? So, and I think that's what God has been saying to us. Are we ready? Are we ready for what He wants to do in our lives? So we've got inheritance. Single, literally, as individuals, which we have to wrestle with God for. We also got a corporate inheritance where we as a church wrestle with God for the promises He's given us. And He's given us a few promises. And if you come to intercession, you'll see that we touch on them and we pray them too. And we're wrestling with God until those promises are made true, until they manifest in the natural. Okay. Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So we've also been called not to wrestle with God. We've also been called to wrestle with the evil one. We've been called to wrestle to gain new ground, to take ground from the evil one. And for us, a lot of times we want to get into that battle. We want to take the ground. But what God has been telling me is the first place we have to start with is wrestling with God. Because in that place of wrestling with God, we learn how strong our God is. We learn who He is. We learn what our God represents. And through that, we gain confidence to wrestle. Because God says He is with us. And when we wrestle with those powers, it's actually God that's coming to wrestle with the powers of darkness. Because He's always with us. It's His strength that gains the victory. So part of our wrestling with God, what flows out of it, is just a wrestling with darkness. It's taking ground. And our world is at a place it is at. Because the church is not really wrestling at all, even with God or in any way. And we are supposed to wrestle back the kingdom of God of this world from the kingdom of darkness. And I'm going to talk a bit more about that next week and weeks to come. The scripture says He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we need to know that God that will never leave us or forsake us. We need to realize who He is and that He never leaves us and forsakes us. Okay. So what is the resultant of our intimacy with God? What does it bring? It brings total security in the Father. Luke 12 verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And it's so cool. Jan was sharing just about God's provision. This is similar to that. It's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. When we really confidently know our Father, then we don't worry about tomorrow. We don't worry about the things that need to come. We realize we trust Him emphatically that He's going to make it come. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9, motivation is only to please Him. So whatever you are at home in heaven or away, we make it our aim to please Him. So what it does when we wrestle with God, the effect that it has is it sets us free from personal ambition, sets us free from just that manipulation, that Jacob thing in us. Because God gives us a new name and that brings contentment. Proverbs 25 verse 2, it's the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search is to search it out. So like Raina was saying, sometimes God is only get glory if we go through things. A lot of times God will hide to us. That's why God only reveals things to us partly, because this is a glory in us wrestling with God about life, about where we are at and the things we're going through. This is something beautiful about seeking things out. I've had in the office in the last few weeks, I've just realized a few things. There's a lot of us, God has given us this potential of just being co-heirs with Christ, just really inheriting the kingdom, massive kingdom. And I've just realized that the enemy has come to come and discourage and to come and do some things in people's lives to get their eyes off the promises of God, the plans God has got for them. Can I have the band come up, please? And tonight, can I also just ask the ushers to hand out the communion? Very cool. So I just felt tonight that there's something special that God wants to come and do in our hearts regarding the intimacy of the Father. He wants to come and restore some things in our heart. And I feel there's like a few groups of us tonight. There's one group of people that hasn't got any kind of relationship with the Father. Hasn't got anything, doesn't know this Father that which we need to wrestle with. The word says there's only one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. He's the way to the Father. So for us to have a relationship with the Father, to even to start wrestling with Him, a lot of religions say there's different ways to the Father, but Christianity says there's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. So for some of us, we can't even wrestle with our inheritance. We don't even know where we're supposed to go. We don't know our purpose in life. There's some of us here tonight. And then I feel there's some of us tonight that we've stopped wrestling with God. We've come to a place where the enemy has just discouraged us, circumstances discouraged us, and we've stopped that relationship with God. We've just given up. We've given up hope. We've just become tired. We haven't allowed God to strengthen us in the suffering. The Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And some of us are at that place where we've just given up wrestling with God. And then there's, I feel there's a big group of us who are actually wrestling with God at this point in time. So I also just feel that God just wants to encourage you to keep on wrestling. And I feel especially for those people who are wrestling with God and who get encouragement from God through that intimacy. I feel God is calling you to bring other people into your wrestling match. God is just kind of asking you to share that with others, because others need to be encouraged through the things you're wrestling with, the testimonies. And then I also feel there's some of us who are really wrestling, but things are just impossible. Things are just not happening. Everybody just focus for a moment. I just feel some of us who's really been wrestling, but it's been just an opposition that's not natural, it's not normal. And I feel that's just a demonic assignment against the church and against certain individuals. And God just wants to set you free tonight from that. He wants to set you free from the power of darkness, spirit of heaviness and fear. And as we take communion tonight, I just want you to think about it. I'm going to give you a few minutes. So just talk to God. Just talk to Him and just restart that conversation, that wrestling match. Just talk to Him about those things you're struggling with. And then I'm going to do an altar call after that. So just ask God, where is your heart? And let Him convict you. Let Him speak to you. So that He can deal with you in that area of your life. Father, we come tonight, Father, and we come partake of your body. Thank you, Father, your body was broken for us to be whole, to be healed, to be restored, to come to a place of liberty where we can interact with the Father, where we can relate to the Father, where we can speak to the Father. Father, today we just declare by your broken body, Father, we have received wholeness. We've received this inheritance in the Father's house. We've become part of the family, heavenly family. Father, we also just thank you for your blood, that it speaks a greater word. Thank you that your blood proclaims throughout the ages just the victory of Christ, the preeminence of Christ's work on the cross, that nothing will ever conquer the cross. The cross stands as a sign over our lives and as a promise for us that you're coming back for us, that you are coming to restore your bride out of this age, Father, but even the promises for now, for here and now, for your kingdom to come, in Jesus' name. Let's spend 2 minutes with the Lord. Just speak to Him about where you're at in terms of your intimacy. Just tell Him as things are. Just speak to Him. Respond to what God has said to our hearts tonight. First group I want to call forward are those of you, and don't be ashamed of that, those of you who feel that they are wrestling with God at this point in time. I want you to come forward and just facilitate what God wants to do in people's hearts. So if you are currently wrestling with God, and you're feeling you're intimate with God, and you have that in your life, you have that relationship of wrestling with God through situations, I want you to come forward. Because you're going to minister to the other people coming forward. Come quickly. You don't have to be perfect. You must just be wrestling with God. And if the Holy Spirit convicts you, just come forward. Because the Lord wants to use you. Feel I'm just going to pray for you. If you're here tonight and you want to just, as I shared, that you want to have the relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're here tonight, you want to enter into the relationship, I want you to go forward, come forward and just come and ask one of these facilitators just to pray with you to enter into that relationship with the Father. That's the first group, so just be bold, just come forward. just come and ask for that relationship with the Father. And I felt there's a second group. You've given up on wrestling with God. If you've given up on wrestling with God, just come forward. Just come and speak to a facilitator. Just let them just pray with you with that relationship. And then I feel there's a third group. I feel you've really been wrestling with God, but there's just been an opposition, something heavy in your life, something that's not normal, that you can discern its heaviness. And I felt it was just a demonic assignment that steals that relationship between you and the Father. If that's you, I also want you to come forward. Just be bold. Your family tonight. And as I said earlier, that's, we all need that intimacy. We all want to cross over into that perfect relationship with God. So if it's you, just have the boldness. Just come forward and grab a facilitator, and they're going to help you. And just tell them which of those three things is for you. Which of those three things that God wants to deal with in your life. So we can be specific. So we can deal with those things. And God can set us free.